Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dhanuka Agritech Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen mode only, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshita Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Hi. Thank you, Zico. Welcome all. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, we would like to welcome all the participants in the third quarter and nine-month FY23 earnings call of Dhanuka Agritech. On the call with me, we have Mr. M.K. Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Vinod Bansal, CFO, and Mr. Harsh Dhanuka, Whole-time Director. Without any further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Dhanuka for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dhanuka.
Thank you, Darshita. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Myself, M.K. Dhanuka, Managing Director of Dhanuka Agritech Limited. I hope all of you are doing well and keeping safe. Thank you for joining us in the conference call for results of Q3 FY22-23 of Dhanuka Agritech. I have with me Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Harsh Dhanuka, Executive Director, and Mr. V.K. Bansal, CFO of the company. I would like to draw the attention of the participants that in today's board meeting, Mr. Rahul Dhanuka has been elevated from the post of COO to Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Harsh Dhanuka from Whole-time Director to Executive Director, Alliances and Supply Chain. These are the elevation of Rahul and Harsh, because in times to come, they will have to take the charge from the older generation. Dhanuka Agritech is a leading agrochemical company in India, focusing on branded sales in the market. The company's strength lies in the manufacturing and marketing of formulated products. The product portfolio is spread across insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and plant growth promoters. Dhanuka Agritech is working with the vision of transforming India through agriculture. Our belief is that when we transform the lives of farmers by enhancing their productivity and quality, in turn enhancing their income, we are making a small contribution in transforming India. We work in all major crops in India and have implemented the best-in-class technology to ensure a smooth and efficient supply chain. We have a pan-India presence through our marketing team and warehouses in all major states across India. With three manufacturing units and 41 warehouses across India, we cater to around 6,500 distributors and dealers and around 80,000 retailers. Through this extensive network, Dhanuka reaches out to approximately 10 million Indian farmers with its products and services. Dhanuka has more than 1,000 techno-commercial staff, supported by a strong sales and marketing team to promote and develop new products. Dhanuka's strong R&D division has world-class NABL-accredited laboratory, as well as an excellent team for new product registration and development. Dhanuka has international collaboration with 10 leading global agrochemical companies from the U.S., Japan, and Europe, which helps us to introduce the latest technology in India. Before moving further, with a heavy heart, I would like to inform you about the untimely demise of our Whole-time Director, Mr. Arun Kumar Dhanuka, who left to his heavenly abode on 30th January 2023. Mr. Arun Kumar Dhanuka played a pivotal role in the successfully running the operations of erstwhile Gurgaon factory and setting the best standards for Dhanuka operations. He was a man of honor and a master of managing industrial relations. His contributions will be sorely missed. We pray for peace and strength to his family. This year, the rainfall has been uneven, and although the overall rainfall is above average, east and north region has suffered from very less rainfall, whereas south and west has seen unprecedented rains resulting in flooding in many regions. Coming to the financial performance for the quarter 3 of FY22-23, revenue from operations stood at 393.37 crores in Q3 of FY22-23 versus rupees 356.86 crores in Q3 of FY21-22. EBITDA stood at rupees 51.83 crores in Q3 of FY22-23 versus rupees 55.02 crores in Q3 of FY21-22. Profit after tax stood at rupees 46.07 crores in Q3 of FY22-23 versus rupees 42.52 crores in Q3 of FY21-22. The zone-wise percentage share of turnover for Q3 FY22-23 is as follows. North zone 22%, East zone 11%, West zone 29%, and South zone 38%. Product category wise share of turnover for Q3 of FY22-23, insecticides 29%, fungicides 20%, herbicides 39%, and others 12%. So you will notice that South zone has contributed the highest, 38% in the top line of the company, and herbicide has contributed highest, 39% in the overall turnover. I would like to inform you that SEBI has approved a buyback of 10 lakh equity shares of the company at rupees 850 per equity share, aggregating to rupees 85 crores on 11th December 2022 in the first go without any observation. The buyback offer was opened from 26 December 22 to 6 January 23 through the tender offer route. Post completion of the offer period, all the formalities including extinguishment of shares completed on 17th January 2023, and the same shall be accounted for in the quarter ended 31st March 2023. I am happy to share with you that Dhanuka has set up Dhanuka AgriTech Research and Technology Center at Palwal, Haryana on 6-acre land equipped with an advanced laboratory and research farm for faster commercialization of new products. The R&D center is able to facilitate the demonstration of package of practice of various crops as per the season for increasing the quality, yield and income of the farm. This center was inaugurated on 4th November 2023 by the Chief Minister of Haryana, Shri Manohar Lal Khattar ji. After initiation of the exports department in September, we have started receiving queries from international market for our current product portfolio, and we expect these leads to be used for exports of our products coming from the Dahej plant as well. Further, we are ready for launching our new range of biological products under the sub-brand Biologic with an initial portfolio of 6 products. These products will allow Dhanuka to offer sustainable and environment-friendly solutions to farmers. Under CSR initiatives, Chiranjilal Dhanuka Charitable Trust have constructed a healthcare center at Govardhan in Mathura district in UP in the name of Dhanuka Healthcare, which was inaugurated by Shrimati Hema Malini, MP from Mathura, on 20th November 2022. I regret to inform that there is a delay of around 3 months in completion of the Dahej plant, and now we are expecting production to start from July 2023. The delay is mainly because of late delivery of plant and machinery by the suppliers. Although the orders were placed well in advance, but suppliers are delaying the supply and delivery of the plant and machinery. The agriculture sector is one of the mainstays of the Indian economy, as it accounts for around 19% of the gross value added of the economy and employs more than 50% of the country's workforce. The Government of India recognized the importance and potential of digital agriculture to improve the productivity and sustainability of the country's agricultural sector and launched the Digital Agriculture Mission. Dhanuka, through its vision of transforming India through agriculture, is focusing in technology and digitization. We are promoting the use of drone technology in the agriculture sector and tying up with various agricultural universities as part of its effort to boost crop production and contribute to fulfilling the national mission of making India a USD 5 trillion economy. We consider ourselves responsible towards securing the farmers' welfare and preserving food security of the nation. We continue to strengthen our association with the Farmer Producer Organization, that is FPOs, Krishi Vigyan Kendra, that is KVKs, and other critical institutions to increase our business expertise and boost our market presence. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We would now take the questions from you which you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Prashant Biyani with Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations to Mr. Rahul and Mr. Harsh for the new role. Rahulji, how do you see the channel inventory in the market right now?
Could you repeat that question, Prashant? Thanks for your wishes.
Sir, how do you see the channel inventory in the market right now?
Right. So, Rabi has been pretty good in terms of the consumption, especially in South India. So, to that extent, the channel inventory has significantly moved forward. However, tur crop in Maharashtra and the gram crop in Madhya Pradesh and Gujarat has had a setback. And similarly, East India has also not received larger consumption. Again, North India channel inventory in terms of wheat herbicide has been moving fast. So overall for South and North, I don't foresee channel inventory to be high. Yet West and East are still stabilizing in terms of what is the consumption and what could be stuck as channel inventory.
And sir, the excess inventory in West and to some extent in the eastern part and for the crops in North, how do you see them stabilizing or getting normalized? And is it going to be a overhang for the next season?
Well, now this will depend upon what practices are adopted by different companies in the industries. Some of the channel inventory will be pulled back by the industry. So that would probably reflect within this quarter. And if the companies are not going to pull back that inventory, then it will reflect in the next quarter.
Sure. And sir, on the Dahej plant side, if you can share some broad numbers as to how much should we pencil in terms of financials for 24 and year after, I mean, at what utilization do you target to operate the plant, the asset turns, and some margin numbers if you have calculated?
So we are expecting in year one production value of around 50 crores, some of which will be used for captive consumption, and some of part of it will be sold to other customers.
And sir, for the captive consumption, how much will be the cost saving for us?
Yeah, the cost saving would be in the range of 10%.
Only 10%?
Yes.
Is it because the technical prices have fallen, or otherwise 10% is pretty low in terms of cost saving?
Yes, definitely. As we can see in last 3 to 4 months, the prices of major generic technicals have been coming down. So that is one of the reasons.
And on the third party sale that we'll do, how much could be the margins on that?
Mr. Prasad, you see, in terms of margin, you see, it will take a little time, see, because this would be our first year. So as Mr. Haas is saying, 10% is sort of minimum. It could be better. So you see, in case of third party, in the year one, margin may be little shaky, little less. We are working hard on this direction, but probably we will be better off in after two quarters, basically, because Mr. Dhanukaj already informed there is a delay of 3 months, 1 quarter. So we start in July. So we will be better off to answer to your queries sometime in September.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question. You may press star and one on a touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagraj with Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and congrats on the new generations for elevating in the management cadre for them. So first question is in terms of high cost inventories. So last 2-3 quarters we had faced this issue. Now that this high cost inventory is completely depleted, and from Q4 onwards we will come back to the normal inventories at lower cost. Thank you.
Yeah, very significant or large part is already depleted, but whatever is left, we are hoping almost everything must be liquidated in the Q4. From new financial year will start, new beginning will start, and I'm sure ki our there should be a significant improvement in the gross margin in the next financial year.
Sure, that's encouraging. So second, on the volume growth, so in Q3, what was the volume growth and pricing, and the same for 9 months, where we have grown by about 6-7%.
Yeah, volume growth in Q3 is around 2.5%, and in 9 months we are expecting is around 5.5 to 6%.
Okay, so the 9 month entire 6.5% growth, a majority of it is through volumes.
Right.
Okay. Fair. So third question on the Dahej project. So as I understand earlier, we had total capex of 300 crores with the 160 crores in the phase one. Now since it has got deferred till July, what would be the capex number for Dahej during FY24 and then in FY25?
You see, by the end of this financial year, our capex would be in the range of 200 crore, and in the year 23-24, it might be around 60 crore.
So FY23 200 CR will be in the CWIP, right?
Right.
And then next year additional 60 will get added. So by end of FY24, the total capitalization for this project would be closer to 250 to 60 crores. Hello.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Thank you. So just one last question. In terms of channel inventories, so last time in Q2 con call, we had indicated that for other players, the channel inventories were high, and for us, they were relatively lower. So what is the situation from Dhanuka's perspective?
So as a matter of practice, we'll be, you know, trying cleaning our channel from the inventory within this quarter. We would normally not carry forward the inventories to impact the next quarter performance. And that is also part of our relationship with the channel, that we try to unblock them from unsaleable stock, which opens them up for taking up lifting fresh stocks for the seasonal demand.
Right, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I said, from the Dahej plant, how much can be the external sales for a company at you know, optimum capacity utilization?
Sir, you should see the Dahej project as a startup. It's basically at infant stage. We are basically interested in getting the specialty molecules from our Japanese partners. And for this purpose, we have put up this facility. At initial stage, we are entering this technical manufacturing segment for the generic molecules. So sure, the margins and the sales volume, etc., from the initial one plant will be negligible. This is only a startup. We have put one step ahead in basically showing our capabilities that Dhanuka can also manufacture the technical grade pesticide. We will get the Japanese visitors to visit our plant and see our facilities and then share some specialty molecule or intermediates with Dhanuka to manufacture at this Dahej plant. So ultimately the benefits will start coming at a later date when we will start manufacturing the specialty molecules. Initially with the generics, it is just like a startup, and we don't expect any major chunk of sales and major profitability from the generic molecules.
So what you are saying is our long-term plan is to get into patented products, which you know, currently we the formulation that we do and the technical patented partners the supplies from Japan or some of their other plants across the world.
Most likely you are right.
Sure. And let's say our plan will also be to not just manufacture technical for our requirement in Indian market, but also to sell it to other parts of the world.
It will depend from time to time. If the margins are good, even in generic of some of the product, then definitely we will like to manufacture those molecule in our plant, because there is space to put up 9 plant over there. Right now we are putting up the first plant only. So the new plants will be installed once we get the basically tie up with the Japanese partners.
Okay. That's a 260 crore of capex for this one plant seems a bit on the higher side. So is it that, you know, we have the infrastructure for the entire 9 plants and the subsequent capex for plant second and third plant will be much lower? Is it like that, or how is it?
Yes, we have created the huge capacities for storages, because there was a requirement also from the GIDC that we have to construct at least 25% of the area. So the warehouse facilities has been created for the most of the plants. Similarly, the chilling plant and the boilers, that facility has been created for other number of plants. So we will have not to spend money on chilling plant, on boiler and warehousing facilities, etc. For future plants, only the new plant and machinery and the building for the new plant will be required. So definitely the capex will be much less in comparison to the first plant.
Sure, sure. And sir, any timeline that you can give us, you know, by when we can expect some supplies of patented product to start? Let's say 24 will be a first year of operations. So let's say 25 or 26, can we expect it, to start some of the molecules for our Japanese clients in 25 or 26?
It's too early to basically commit anything, because until unless we have a written agreement with any of the Japanese partners, we cannot commit the timelines. Once we will have the agreement with any of the Japanese partners, definitely we will inform the in the coming next phone call with the investors.
Sure. So, normally what we have seen with you know companies who do manufacture technicals, very few have been able to get breakthrough for patented products. There are few like PI, Deccan, only those have been able to get some breakthrough for manufacturing of patented products. And we being a new, we have been, you know, we have been a formulation player. So getting, although we have relationship with the Japanese customers for decades now through our through formulations, but you know, getting the technical manufacturing for patented product is not that easy. So how confident are we of, you know, securing some orders from them?
Yeah, so that's a very profound statement. What's the question?
So my question was that, you know, very, very few technical players in India have been able to get entry into, you know, Japanese patented products. You know, mostly are manufacturing, you know, largely generic products. So how confident are we of getting, you know, getting some relationship with the Japanese customers for manufacturing of technical products?
We are getting into this space with a very committed approach and a relatively holistic and a long-term plan. So with that commitment, I think so the initial steps are the ones that we are taking, setting up a chemical plant in a chemical zone, starting manufacturing some generic agrochemicals, establish our credibility and capability both in that space, and grow and build up from there. Now, this is obviously not a quarter-to-quarter game, but it will take its own time. It's time for India, it's time for chemical industry in India. And Dhanuka is absolutely well placed to take advantage of the available opportunities in Indian space as well as in global space. So we are going to do our best to leverage that.
So this last question on, you know, the generic products that we'll be manufacturing, how many products are ready at the lab scale? And I think we'll be largely manufacturing in parathyroids, if I'm not wrong.
So more about that probably in next quarter call.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Parth with Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have two questions. One is we had a product launch for the sugarcane herbicide, which is halosulfuron methyl and metribuzin combination. How is the launch? Have we launched the product? Is it an encouraging response from the market?
This launch will be coming up next year, probably Q1 FY24.
Okay.
And sugarcane acreages are growing.
with ethanol mixing being made mandatory and wide-scale acceptance of that, we are really accepting, looking forward to a good play of our brand Tizom in sugarcane.
That's encouraging, sir. And secondly, sir, we've been reading reports of El Nino probability being high for India this year. How do you see impacts, if any, of the same?
So my request to all the participants on the con call, please pray for the Indian farmer and Indian agriculture.
Okay.
I hope it is taken seriously.
Right, sir. Right. And if I could just squeeze in one last question regarding the China reopening, are we seeing dumping from China or probably cost pressure from China because of the reopening phenomenon, or market is, you know, just as usual?
No, I don't think so. We are seeing dumping from China, but yes, China has its own play. China is out of the lockdown, but it is not out of the erraticity. So that erratic nature allows sometimes the manufacturer or sometimes the trader to play on the prices, which still continues. And in the whole situation, Indian technical manufacturers, Indian chemical manufacturers are receiving good acceptance, which is pretty evident from the performance of various other chemical companies in the country. So I think so India will have its own space and play when it comes to agrochemicals and chemical industry at large. Now, India being a agrarian economy, would certainly continue to depend upon rainfall and El Nino or La Nina as the situation would be. Yet, the powers that be at the center or at the state level have invested significantly in irrigation projects, both in terms of greenfield irrigation projects, the way they are being done, like the Kaleshwar Dam in Telangana, and many other such projects which have come up over the last 3 years, and also in terms of reviving the dead irrigation canals or irrigation tanks and storage facilities and recharging the wells. So overall, a large area has come under water storage and water holding, which will certainly help Indian farmer walk through a dangerous situation or an unpredictable situation of El Nino. So El Nino could be a game changer, yet availability of irrigation facilities would certainly help. In addition to that, Indian scientists have come up with drought resistant seeds in many crops. Farmer is being educated to adopt those seeds and technologies, which will also help Indian farmer wade through a difficult situation if such a difficult situation was to emerge. Yet it is still a forecast, and that too not a closer forecast. It is as of now a distant forecast. We are still waiting for more inputs to come from different countries' meteorological departments to really confirm El Nino situation and then firm up our forecast or plans for the year.
That's helpful, sir. Thanks for the comprehensive answer. That's all from my side.
Yes.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain with DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dhanuka team. So my question is from the agri economics perspective, how are you seeing the overall farmer economics playing out, specifically given that a lot of crop prices have been moving up? And obviously, Indian farmers got benefit because of lower fertilizer prices compared to a lot of other places globally. Export also has been quite good, some of the key crops. So generally on farmer economics over last 2-3 years, how are you seeing the overall situation?
Pharma economics actually is really, in terms of macro, has been positive and favorable, like you say. Yet crop to crop, it keeps varying. And sometimes within the crop, it varies for geography. So for example, the onion farmers' economics this year has not been good because of the onion prices being significantly lower, with exports, with imports being open and exports being restricted. Now, tour crop was in for a setback in Maharashtra, so which again took the farmer economics to a lower end. You would have seen recently appearing news of edible oil prices going down again because of free imports. Now, these things put a challenge on the Indian farmers' economics. While on the other side, we see various other horticulture crops being in demand and being favored by the farmer. Sugarcane farmer is doing pretty well because of faster turnaround from sugar mills, and also because of ethanol mixing in petrol being driven very strongly, both by the government, petrol companies, and the private players. Then wheat is certainly showing bright signs of prices going up, favoring the farmer economics. So it would certainly vary from crop to crop and geography to geography. Overall, the commitment of the central government and the state governments towards supporting the farmer in the time of distress and protecting the farmer is favorable for almost all agri-input players. Yet a right balance is sought in terms of how to support the inflation-dependent country versus how to support the farmer in getting the right remuneration for his produce, which is a tricky balance yet achieved by the central or the state governments. Yet to be achieved by the central or the state governments.
Okay. So my second question is on, this is a broader question from the product perspective. I think few years back we had few products which we grew very fast and were quite large. But in, I think, last few years, the scale-up of the products from, let's say, 10 crores to 50 to 100 to maybe higher than that, that number of product scaling up seems to be lower. There were quite a few promising products which we have launched, but somehow I think those have not done well after a point. So as an assessment, how do you see some of the successes which we have seen in the past versus what we have done in the last few years? How will you assess it, and any comments if you have on that front?
So I would take certain examples here. For example, we launched a total grass killer terminal weedicide this year, and it was ramped up pretty fast within the launch in the current financial year. Last year we launched a soybean herbicide Tornado, which really moved fast in soybean geographies of Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra. Our earlier launch, Konica, which is a Japanese product, has done really well. Sempra, a sugarcane and maize herbicide, which had a slow start after launching in 2014, has done extremely well over the last 4 years. And Largo and Apply, our two insecticides, Largo for thrips in chili and cotton, and Apply for BPH in paddy, has also done extremely well. This year we launched a Japanese insecticide, combination insecticide by the name Decide, which is very good for cotton and chili, white fly and green jessid and sucking pest control. It has moved like almost like a lightning speed beyond our imagination, and we are looking at ramping up its volume in coming 2 years very fast. So yes, there would have been some misses like a Cornex launch last year, but most of our products are really moving well and moving fast. So where are your feelings coming from? I think so. Some deeper statistics challenge that.
No, sir. What you're saying is absolutely perfect. What I was hinting towards is that are there any products which can scale up to a significantly, because when we look at some of the other companies, the one or two product has a very large contribution to the overall revenue. In your case, we have, I don't know, the top product or top five product is what, how large, because then you can get an operating leverage out of it. That was something which I was talking about earlier. I think Targa Super was one many years back. But after that, we have not seen such a large product. That is what I was hinting towards.
Right. I think so. Beyond Targa Super, Rynaxypyr chemistry and Cartep chemistries are, which are pretty big with us and would be almost as large as Targa. Yet, I think so. I think so. Yeah, to match up to one single product being that large, I think so. You'll be seeing some coming up in next 2 years, indeed.
Okay, sir. All the best for that, and thank
you. We have a good pipeline lined up for such growth over next 2 years.
Okay, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Himanshu Binani with Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question was largely on the inventory side again. So, sir, we have been like reading that in the global as well as into the domestic companies' commentaries in terms of higher inventory. So maybe like if we can like comment and we can like deep digger into this. So just wanted to have a sense in terms of like the molecule wise, if you can give us some sense that how are the molecules seeing the inventory hit basically. So any sense on that would be like,
I will take broadly two examples and then some built up will have to be done from there. So in East India particularly, for example, Uttar Pradesh, Bengal and Bihar has seen significantly lower consumption of fungicide like Mancozeb. So Mancozeb inventories are significantly lined up in the market. So
okay.
That is on the eastern side. On the western side, with non-consumption in Tuer and Gram, Bengal Gram, product like Emamectin, which is an insecticide, has got stuck. So Emamectin and related insecticides are probably lying in large volumes in the market or within company warehouses. So these two are like the examples both from the eastern and western side, and portfolio similar to that would be stuck up in inventories. Dhanuka as a portfolio has a relatively higher percentage of herbicides. Overall herbicides in Kharif as well as in Rabi have performed really well. So our herbicide portfolio has been really moving good, well.
Got it, sir. And so secondly, we have commented in our presentation towards the launch of the 6 bio products. So any sense on the targeted revenue potential basically of this products going forward?
Right. So this is what we have introduced as early stage venturing into the bio space, which we feel is growing at a higher CAGR. So we are just trying to understand this market, and we'll have a small single digit plan for the next year to explore and understand the markets as we try and bring in better and beautiful products in these portfolio over next few years. So the market size is as of now pretty small in this space, but it would be growing at a higher rate, I believe.
So any sort of like revenue target basically from this products?
I'd say about 10 crores in next financial year.
Okay. And so any sense on the margin profile for this bio products? What is the margin differentiation between the traditional products and the bio products
margin profile on a general? Is much higher as compared to the traditional products. Margin profile is much higher. CAGR is much higher,
but the market size and the absolute value is much lower.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, press star and one on a touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Ms. Niharika with Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I've just started covering. I have one or two basic questions on it. So if I take only top five brands for Dhanuka, so how much will it be concentrating our revenue like from them?
It's around 21%.
And these would be catering to what crops? Like top five products of Dhanuka?
So this is a really wide portfolio. These would be catering to soybean, onion, black gram, jute, Bengal gram, cotton, sugarcane, horticulture, grapes, onion, paddy, wheat, yeah, something like that.
Okay. And as a product ratio, what is our product ratio for Rabi versus Kharif? Like how is our product skewed towards?
Rabi versus Kharif. Rabi versus Kharif, you see normally our Kharif ranges between 54 to 58%. And Ravi is around 42 to 46% type.
Okay. And as of December, how much of cash and investments do we have in our book? How much of cash and investments do we have in our books as of December?
Look, our inventory is in line with the previous year. It is around 322 crore versus 303 crore last year, December.
No, I'm talking about cash and investments.
I don't get.
Your question is not clear.
Hello?
Yeah, your question is not clear.
I'm asking about cash and investments in the book.
Cash investment. Cash investment, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's around 200 crore.
Okay. Okay. And, so this is my last question. So how much of revenue comes from specialty and how much is from generic in our revenue?
How much from specialty and how much from generic? Is that the question?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it is around 50-50.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, sir. That was it so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhruv Machal with HDFC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, probably a bit early into the next season, but if you can give some indication, now that we are seeing technical prices from China declining significantly, do you think, given the price corrections that we will have to take and the pricing benefit that was probably visible in the last 6 months or probably more than 1 year, there could be a muted sales growth over the next 1 or 2 years, or do you think there are significant volume levers that you can drive through?
Muted sales growth and volume levers. Is that what you are saying?
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing the technical prices are falling. So probably one has to pass on this to the markets, and which will influence our sales growth is one concern. So just wanted to understand, can that be a thing for us or we will have some offsets to that?
Right. So the reducing prices of generics, obviously we'll try and pass on to the farmer that advantage if the prices are reducing. That is one. And there would be volume growth which will be coming in. So the right balance would emerge between value and volume growth over the year. Yet the erraticity in chemical supplies from China and the overall pipeline instability, overall supply chain instability is expected to continue. So over the entire portfolio, it will have a wavering impact, which we are still trying to ascertain.
Okay, so broadly saying there are still levers for revenue growth next year, even if the the generic prices decline.
Yes, absolutely. There are.
Sure. And so secondly is we also hearing from the markets that the collections have become a bit sticky or become a bit difficult from dealers, distributors, and also the inventory levels are high. Just wanted to understand your situation and the broader market situation. How can that influence us?
Right. So collections have kind of slowed over the last few months. Yet it is a short-term challenge, I believe. For us, it is really in control. And I think so this will turn around in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Not much of a worry then.
Not much of a worry indeed.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Resham Jain with DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. So, sir, my question is on just the organizational structure. Given that we have a focused approach on multiple crops, now we have biologic. I think a couple of years back, we had a very high focus on horticulture. So from an organizational standpoint, over the last few years, has there been any a major change which has happened just to focus on various kind of divisions and segments? So that was because each segment needs a different way of marketing approach towards market and all.
Absolutely. So happy you asked that question. So we have completely restructured our marketing organization with a approach of crop and farmer centric structure. So we have created crop business managers who are responsible for one entire crop and farmer's practice, both in terms of the technicality of the crop as well as the technicality of the product fitment and product communication to the farmer. Within the marketing team, we have portfolio managers of insecticides, herbicides, fungicides and bioproducts. At the same time, we have a bioproducts leader added to the organization who has a wide and deep experience of bioproducts and agri-input industry over the last 20 years. So we have added this kind of a resource to generate a knowledge base and create a futuristic approach. In addition to that, we have set up Dhanuka Agriculture Research and Technology Center, DART, which was inaugurated by Chief Minister of Haryana, Mr. Manohar Lal Khattar, on 4th of November 2022, where we are going to do research around lab to farm practical application of agrochemicals, agri technologies, and bioproducts. So these two wings put together, especially the marketing wing and the R&D wing, would be working closely to move lab research to farm and commercialize it faster.
Okay, understood. So the related question is, if you look at some of your expenses line item, specifically employee cost and other expenses, it has seen a good control and it has come down by almost like 200-300 basis point over the last 4-5 years, which has helped us in terms of margins. So I was just thinking from that perspective that just from margin perspective, isn't it like the company is investing less on marketing, or is there anything else which we are not able to read from numbers? Because your employee cost as a percentage of revenue has seen a very good improvement. So that was another question related to this only.
You see, in terms of investment, we are quite aggressive. That's not the case. But yes, in the last 2 years, the expenses were lower on account of because of COVID. And this year, you have seen the increase in expenses as compared to the increase in revenue is more. But for, say, employee perspective, yes, we have made some structural change 2 years ago, because of which there is a significant impact in the revenue and we are more focused on the production side. So therefore, there is an improvement in the employee cost.
So does this mean that without sacrificing on investment,
Of course, we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise in that particular part. And this year, the impact is less profitability, the director remuneration is significantly lower as compared to the previous year.
That is one of the reason in the improvement in the employee cost this year. Other than director commission, the employee cost has increased actually in line with the increase in the turnover, almost.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Manish Mahawar with Antique Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir. In terms of a question, product basket perspective portfolio, how do you see the gaps in our product portfolio, maybe herbicide, insecticide, fungicide perspective, or maybe crop perspective?
Okay, so we see our portfolio to be really rich and powerful, and also our pipeline to be very strong thanks to our Japanese partners like Nissan, Nippon Soda, Hoko, with whose support we launched Zenet, a fungicide last year, Decide, a very versatile insecticide, and Cornex, a maize herbicide last year. Yet what we feel is two gaps in our portfolio which could be covered up are Phalaris minor in wheat and BPH in paddy rice. These two portfolio gaps, I think so, is what we are focusing on to fill our gaps. Although we do have generic offerings in both the categories, apply in BPH and Dynofop and Phenox in wheat Phalaris minor, yet these products are relatively generic or older in nature. We are looking for modern and newer chemistries in this segment.
Okay, and in terms of this wheat, when you said a wheat crop, this across basically in the wheat in the subsegment in terms of maybe the fungicide or maybe insecticide herbicide across, because BPH is very specific, you mentioned about the BPH, but wheat crop, can you highlight which side we are weaker?
It's a weedy side. We are weedy, weaking for okay. A weedy side in wheat.
Acha, weedy side on wheat. Okay, understood. And second question in terms of
insecticide in paddy.
Okay, understood. And second, in terms of export, because we are just now focusing, we started the export department separately, right, from September onwards. How do you see going forward, maybe next 2-3 years, our size of business and our thought process in terms of registration and process going forward?
Right, so we hired an export manager late this year, this financial year, and we are looking at ramping up our exports both in regulated global markets as well as unregulated global markets. We are going to invest in registrations in the regulated markets, and we are going to leverage our formulation capacities and capabilities to enter the unregulated markets. So that is one area for which we are going to leverage our formulation facilities, and then the Dahej plant which is coming up would add to our strength in terms of playing in the regulated as well as unregulated formulation markets with our own technical production.
Okay, so any number possible for the next 3 years we see in terms of export? I can understand it will be a smaller number or so, but any number you wanted to put up?
Right, yeah, so I think so we'll be able to share a better plan in the next con call, next quarter. That would be a good thing to share.
Okay, understood. And some bookkeeping question from Bansalji, from you. What is the volume and price growth in this quarter?
In this quarter, the volume growth is around 2.5%, and the remaining is the value growth because it is around 7.5% to 8%. 7.5%.
Okay. Okay, and tax rate is a bit lower for the quarter. So any specific reason, and can you highlight for FY23?
Because of the excess, reversal of the excess provision of previous years. Because of that, the tax impact is there. Otherwise, the tax liability is similar to the previous year.
Okay, and what could be the full tax rate for a full year for this year perspective?
Full tax rate is it is around 24%, but because of reversal, it would be around 22.5% this year.
22.5%. Okay, sure. Thanks and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. To summarize, Dhanuka continues to demonstrate its ability to overcome challenges and emerge stronger despite uncertain business environment. Dhanuka will aggressively roll out new formulations in the upcoming quarters and would ensure that it reaches to the consumer. We hope to introduce two new 9-3 molecules in the next financial year along with 3-9-4 molecules. So overall, we hope that Dhanuka will be able to introduce 5 new molecules in FY23-24. I reassure our shareholders that we are committed to the task of transforming the landscape of agriculture in India and will play an integral role in rewriting the future of a better and new India. Wishing you all health and safety. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, Manishji. Thank you, all the participants. Thank you.